All right. I am glad you're here. 9 o'clock. This is like my bedtime. I said to my wife, Marilyn, I said, I'm going to need to get an energy drink or something for this 9 to 10 slot. But anyway, it's just so neat to see 500, 600 adult leaders gather for training, for the level up training. It's just so cool, so encouraging for me to see that, and then encouraging to see you guys all here tonight. So I'm looking forward to our time together. I want to open with a couple of verses from 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. Just as each one has received a gift, and if we're believers, we've received a gift, at least one gift. We're gifted people. So, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. And as leaders in our LBS ministry, we have many opportunities to speak one-on-one, speaking into the lives of others. There's, I'm sure, Bible teachers here, LBS teachers here. We have opportunities each week to speak into the lives of those in our group. So many different opportunities to speak. And it says, if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides. And if you've been involved in ministry for very long, you know that ministry can be tiring, right? It can wear us down. It can wear us out. But this, I love this reminder in here. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that who provides? God provides. That God provides. That's right. And then it goes on to say, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything, to Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So I'm glad I have this opportunity to be with you tonight. Again, Tom Dawson, First Baptist Church, O'Fallon, Illinois. O'Fallon, Illinois. And most people don't know where O'Fallon, Illinois is, so I always start with St. Louis, because most people know where St. Louis is. 12 miles east of St. Louis, across the Mississippi River into Illinois, you'll find O'Fallon. And O'Fallon, Illinois is one end of a railroad line or spur that General O'Fallon, I think back in the 1800s, built. And so on either end of his railroad spur that went right through St. Louis, he named O'Fallon, Illinois, and O'Fallon, Missouri. It's so confusing because there's a First Baptist Church O'Fallon, Missouri, too. And so we've had people show up at our church for a funeral, and it's like, oh, or whatever, or an event, and it's like, sorry, but you should be over in O'Fallon, Missouri. So anyway, I've been at First Baptist O'Fallon for 20 years. And that's my senior pastor right there. That's Pastor Doug Munton. Do you recognize Munton, that name?
Yes.
Okay. That's Don's brother, one of his brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I look at that.
So we are a Sunday school organized church. We love Sunday morning small groups. We call our small groups life groups. I know you all call them LBS, Life Bible Studies. And so our senior pastor, just as your senior pastor and your pastoral staff, very, very supportive of Sunday school, of life groups, of your LBS too. So we are a Sunday school organized church. Like I said, I've been there 20 years. 19 of those 20 years, I was the adult ministries pastor, men's, women's discipleship ministries, and our life group ministry for adults. And then just this last year, I transitioned to pastor to older adults. And I've had several ask, okay, how do you define older adults? And it's 60 plus is how we define it in our church. So I'm really enjoying that ministry, that area of ministry. So I am here to tell you tonight that as an outsider coming in all the way from Illinois, that your ministry matters. It matters deeply to the health and vitality of Houston First. It's very, very important. So Alan Taylor wrote a book several years ago now, Sunday School in HD. Has anybody ever read this book? Heard of it? Don has.
I like the name.
So Alan Taylor, in his book, he wrote this: at this point, I want to make a big statement. Alan Taylor is like he was like Mr. Sunday School for the Southern Baptist Convention, and very influential, very supportive of Sunday School, has done a lot to further Sunday morning small groups. So he writes, at this point, I want to make a big statement. The adult division of the Sunday School is the most strategic area of ministry in the church. He said, I did not say that it was the most important and that it was more important than other ministries. I said it was the most strategic. And I totally agree with Alan. And there's many reasons why the adult division of Life Bible Studies is the most strategic. And I'll talk about those in just a minute. I recently read an open letter by Paul Wilkinson, the adult groups pastor at Brentwood Baptist Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. And he wrote a letter to his adult Bible study leaders. And I read it and it's like, man, I wish I would have wrote that to my adult life group leaders. But what I'd like to do is read it to you as if he wrote it to you LBS leaders here at Houston First. So he said, God has great plans and great... I don't think Paul would mind that I did it, that I used his letter like this. God has great plans and great work in store for the members of Houston First. The preparation of your members to serve on campus locally and globally occurs in large part through your Life Bible Studies. Those who are doing ministry across your church are in large part coming out of adult Life Bible Studies. When the student ministry, children's ministry, preschool ministry need volunteers, they commonly seek them in your adult groups, right? That's a fact. And then he goes on and he talks about worship ministry and that that many in the worship ministry also come out of your Life Bible Studies, out of my life groups. So adult Life Bible Studies, they play a foundational role, a strategic role, as Alan Taylor said, in the ministry of Houston First. So I just want to say, as an outsider, I want to say thank you for all that you do to support your LBS, the LBS ministry here. All right. The title of the breakout tonight, People Matter, You Know It, More Ways to Show It. So my goal for tonight's breakout is just to bring up some different ways that we can communicate to the people that God has led to our group that they matter to us, that they matter to their church, that they matter to the Lord, all right? So that's where we're headed tonight. I view the care, nurturing, and discipleship of people in your groups as a stewardship issue. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but it's a stewardship issue. You know, often we think of stewardship in the terms of money, but God has led every person to your group for a purpose. I believe that every person in your group was divinely led to your group for a reason. And as leaders in our LBS ministry, we have a stewardship responsibility to care for, nurture, minister to, and help them grow spiritually. So I view it as a stewardship issue. Your group exists for those the Lord has led to you. Okay, I'm going to make a statement now. I want you to listen carefully to it. Your Life Bible Study doesn't exist for the sole purpose of teaching each week's Bible study lesson. Your Life Bible Study doesn't exist for the sole purpose of teaching each week's Bible study lesson. Now, is teaching the Bible study lesson important? Yes. It's one of the central things that we do on Sunday mornings, right? Is teach God's Word. That's discipleship. But your Life Bible Study doesn't exist for the sole purpose just to teach the lesson. It's so much more than that. And so tonight I want us to think about some of the other things that our life Bible studies need to be about. So I'm going to share with you four ways that you can show those in your life Bible study that they matter to you, your church, and to the Lord. The first one is strive to be a shepherd leader. Strive to be a shepherd leader. A shepherd leader shepherds the sheep that God puts under their care. Be careful not to limit your role to that of a meeting facilitator who plans and conducts discussions. I wish I had a dollar for every time that I'm talking to a new, for us, life group leader, life group teacher, and they say to me, "Well, Tom, I simply facilitate each week's lesson. I don't view myself as a leader or a teacher of my class." And I say, wait a minute. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Because I view you as a leader. You need to be a leader of the group that God has put you over and in charge of. Facilitating discussions, it's an important part of teaching God's word, but that's not your only role if you're leading an LBS. All right? And then do not view yourself merely as a Bible study teacher whose only responsibility is to present Bible lessons to the group. That's an important role, but that's not your only role. Okay? And those comments are directed to our teachers in here. How many teachers do we have in here? How many of you are LBS teachers? Nope. Okay. All right. Directors. Got some directors in here. What are some of the other roles?
Gather, grow.
Okay.
And give.
All right. Others. Roles.
Prayer leader.
Great. Okay. So those were kind of directed to teachers. At First Baptist O'Fallon, this is how our senior pastor, Pastor Doug, views our life group leaders. And this is how I believe your senior pastor, Pastor Don, views our LBS leaders. He views them as under shepherds, under him. And the expectation in our church is that our life group leaders will shepherd the group that God has given them in their life group or in your LBS. So they're viewed as under shepherds, leading, caring for, discipling, nurturing those in their group. So strive to lead your life group, your life Bible study as a shepherd leader. Small group pioneer Randall Neighbor, he said this: "The shepherd never says, 'I will tend the flock on Sunday mornings from 8:30 to noon,'" or whenever your life Bible study meets. No, the shepherd lives with the flock, sleeps in the fields with the flock, goes into treacherous situations to find a lost sheep, and carries the lambs in his arms. The shepherd is the first one to go into the valley of the shadow of death in order to lead sheep to green pastures. So, part of what it means to be a shepherd leader, you know your sheep, the members of your group, and you are ready to serve them and or organize your group to serve them. And whatever capacity you're serving in your LBS, we want to look for ways to shepherd those in our group. So as a small group leader, you can divide your shepherding role into three vital areas. One, promoting relationships. Two, guiding your group to grow spiritually. And three, providing a process for growth to happen. Four, developing leaders. So I'm going to kind of step through those. The first one is promoting relationships. So one of the primary tasks as a small group leader is to build relationships with group members. And I would encourage you, if you aren't already, get to know your fellow members of your LBS. Spend time with them outside of class. Guys, take a guy out to lunch that's in your LBS. Get to know them. Couples, you might have another couple over for supper. But get to know those that are your fellow members of your LBS. Now, I'm going to make a Captain Obvious statement here. Do you remember Captain Obvious? I'm going to make a Captain Obvious statement here. Are you ready for it? Okay. The power of community increases the more people are together. Captain Obvious. The power of community increases the more people are together. Once a week, Sunday morning meetings do not bring the kind of close-knit community you often see in the New Testament. But how do you make it happen? How do you make this happen? It takes time together. You have to be intentional in your LBS groups on making time outside of Sunday morning to spend together, to get to know each other. One of our life groups, one of our younger adult married life groups, what they do is 1 month, all the guys, most of them have kids, young kids, 1 month, all the guys get together and they fellowship together and they enjoy a time outside of the church together. The next month, the guys watch the kids and all the gals get together. And then the next month, all of them get together and they hire babysitters for the kids. And so they have that, and they do that through the year. They rotate through the year. And so that time outside of Sunday morning is super, super important in building relationships. Strong relationships make for a strong LBS. Okay? And relationships are the key. I call it relational glue. The stronger the relationships, the stronger your LBS is going to be, and the easier it's going to be for your LBS to weather difficult times in your group, to maybe overcome poorly taught lessons, whatever it might be. The stronger the relationships, the stronger the relational glue is, and the better off your LBS will be. So, your group's going to flourish when group members know, trust, and value each other. Let me ask you this question. How well do the members of your LBS know each other? How well do the members of your LBS, do you think, know? Now, I know we have some big groups in this church, don't we? So, what do you think? How well do members of your LBS know each other? I didn't ask how long have they been going to an LBS together. I asked how well do they know each other. See, there's a difference in that, right? And so we want to give opportunities for members of our Life Bible Studies to get to know each other better and for those relationships to deepen. A sense of community will increase group member engagement and attract new people to your group. That world out there is a very isolating world. People are lonely, and they're hungry for relationships that we can offer at Houston, that you all can offer at Houston First in your LBSs. It's attractive. The power of community can be very attractive. So we need healthy, strong relationships with other Christians, and a small group is a perfect place to find those. A group leader, as a group leader, you have weekly opportunities to lay the groundwork for genuine community. So, three tips for building community in your Life Bible Study. All right, the first one is have group members share their faith journey. We talked about this in the first breakout, that our bond in Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ is, that bond is super strong and it's very important. My wife and I and other members of our church, we went on a mission trip to Cuba just before Christmas, and nobody on our team spoke Spanish, and nobody at the Baptist Cuban camp that we were at, very few spoke English. But we just bonded and had the greatest time serving together. Why? Because we had Christ in common. We all knew Christ. We were brothers and sisters in Christ. And in our LBS, you may see people week in and week out, but you don't know their spiritual journey. You've never heard their testimony. You think they're probably Christians, but you don't know that. And so one way that you can build community and build relationships is have group members share their faith journey on a Sunday morning, 5-7 minutes. Maybe give them just a little outline of what you'd like them to talk about as far as how they came to Christ or who led them to Christ. But that way the LBS members get to hear their testimony. Our testimonies can be very powerful, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Very encouraging. And it can build stronger community in your groups. So consider that. Maybe one person once a month share their testimony. The next one is serving together. Rolling up your sleeves and getting out there and meeting needs together. Using the talents and the gifts and abilities in your LBS to serve. And that can be so powerful in building relationships and community within your LBS. It's just serving together. Our church, we didn't do it last year, but for several years we've done Serve Day. And Serve Day, all of our life groups, they go out into the community and they wash storefront windows, they paint fences in the neighborhood parks, they pump gas at the local station, but they just serve together. And while they're out there, they interact with members of the community, tell them about our church, they have an opportunity, they tell them about the Lord. But man, that strengthened our life groups. Serving together. So look for opportunities to serve as an LBS, and then engage members of your LBS on Sunday mornings. What do I mean by that? One thing I mean by that is discussion-based teaching, where it's not just a lecture, okay? You interact with the members of the LBS, of your LBS, and you spend time on asking open-ended questions, thought-provoking questions where members of your group can hear others' thoughts, others' ideas. I often call it group teach. We learn from each other. And people in your LBS have something to learn from others in your LBS, not just your teacher. Why? Because the Lord is working in their lives and in their hearts also. And so that builds community when we hear each other and what the Lord has laid on their heart or what the Lord has taught them. We get their insight into things and so on. So that's one thing I mean by engaging members on Sunday mornings is discussion-based teaching. Okay? But there are other ways to engage members on Sunday mornings. What are some other ways do you think that we can engage members on Sunday morning? Get them involved.
Talk to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking with each other.
Assign them responsibilities.
Yeah. Assign them responsibilities. There's different responsibilities on Sunday morning, and there's different giftings within the people, among the people that the Lord has led to your group. Get them engaged in serving. I read one time somewhere that people want to know two things. Am I wanted in this group? Am I needed in this group? We want them to feel like they're needed and that they can use their gifts and talents and abilities to serve in the LBS. So get creative on different responsibilities and make assignments and get people engaged in serving. Okay? All right. So promote relationships and then guide your group to grow spiritually. As a shepherd leader, we want to promote relationships, guide your group to grow spiritually. So as a small group shepherd, you're in the most strategic position in the church to affect real, lasting life change and spiritual growth. And you are the church's best method, really, for caring, shepherding, loving, and growing people. But you may be wondering, how do I make this happen? How do I make this happen? First, guide them to grow spiritually by being concerned about where people are in their spiritual journeys. Well, how do you know where people are in their spiritual journeys? From your relationship with them, or having them share, just talking, sharing with them about your journey and hearing about their journey. Okay? So as a shepherd leader, if you want to know how best to lead your members of your LBS to grow spiritually, you have to know their starting point, where they're at spiritually currently. Okay? So you need to know where people are at in order to shepherd them to where they ought to be. Accept group members where they are on their spiritual journeys. Treat each person with grace, not judgment. At the same time, help your group members grow. Encourage and spur them on. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Scriptural. And then second, model a disciple's lifestyle. Spiritual growth must be happening in your life. Right? As leaders, they're looking at your life. You are a model of what life change looks like to others, or you should be. Talk about your relationship with Christ, what you're learning from His Word, maybe even some spiritual struggles that you are having. Hopefully you can get to the point in your LBS where you can be real and you can be vulnerable with those in your group. And then third, provide a process for growth to happen. And we talked about application-oriented Bible study. Don't just study the Bible. Help your group members apply it to their lives 24/7. That takes intentionality when we teach, to make sure that it's application-oriented. And then finally, develop leaders. Develop leaders. Continually identifying, developing, and deploying new leaders is a part of every group member's spiritual growth process. So, I've stated, as a small group leader, you can divide your shepherding role into three: vital relationships, promoting relationships, guiding members of your group to grow spiritually. And finally, and this may be the hardest one, guide them to where the chief shepherd wants them to grow, to go. All right? So years of experience have proven, maybe you've seen this in your life, I know I've seen it in mine, that we don't always want to go where we need to go in our journey, in our spiritual life, in our serving. Sometimes the members of our group resist growing spiritually. They resist being open to new people joining their classes, serving others, becoming leaders, sending out members to birth new groups. Group members sometimes prefer comfort to counting the cost. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Sometimes our group members prefer comfort to counting the cost. And so we need to lovingly, gently nudge them to go where the chief shepherd may be leading them to go. Your role as a small group shepherd is to encourage your group members to go places the chief shepherd commands. And while this may not always be easy or comfortable, it's one of the most important responsibilities for a shepherd leader. Because that's part of discipleship, is encouraging people to get out of their comfort zone, use their gifts and talents and abilities to serve the Lord, to be stretched, to rely on the Lord, to carry out ministry that maybe they're not sure they can do, or that they're not comfortable doing at first. So we're talking about ways that we can show people in our LBSs matter. The first one was strive to be a shepherd leader. Strive to be a shepherd leader. But Tom, I don't really think I have the ability or time to be a shepherd leader. Come on, that's a tall task. And this is what I would say to that. I would say, if the Lord has called you to lead and to teach a group, He will give you everything you need to carry out the responsibilities as a shepherd leader. He'll give you the time, the ability, whatever's needed to carry out what He has called you to do. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now that verse, we've probably all heard that verse, right? And more often than not, when we hear that verse, we think of giving money, of giving our tithes and offerings. But it doesn't talk about specifically tithes and offerings, does it? It doesn't. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, whether that's time, talent, whatever it might be, or resources. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In every good work. Trust Him. Let Him stretch you. Challenge yourself in ministry. All right. The second way that you can show people matter is to view your class role as a ministry list. View your class role as a ministry list. To signal that people in your life, that people matter in your life Bible study, and that you want to create a more caring community, change what you call your attendance role, your class roster, call it a ministry list. All right? Now, that's a simple kind of a thing, but it changes the whole perspective on how you view the people in your LBS. Instead of calling it a class roll, call it something much more significant, a ministry list. The difference can be profound. Think about this. A class roll implies that the primary commitment is from the member to the class. That is, the member has committed to attend the class, right? A ministry list implies that the primary commitment is from the class to the member. The group is committed to ministering to and caring for that member. Now, the difference may be subtle in the terms, but it's significant in its outcome and how you truly view it. So here's an example to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. The old question of when to drop inactive members.
Never.
Basically, never. That's what I always tell our life groups. But when to drop inactive members. Your answer to this question depends on whether you are just a class and are dropping them from a role, or a community and dropping them from a ministry list. If the former, you'll ask, has this person honored his commitment to our class? But the latter, if you're looking at it as a ministry list, you'll ask, has our class honored our commitment to this member? And you'll get a different answer depending on the question that you ask. Caring communities don't drop anyone from the ministry list unless they have died, joined another church, moved too far from the church to receive ministry, right? Not that they've moved too far away to attend, but they've moved too far away to receive ministry from your group, or they've requested to be removed. Okay? So, what are some other results of viewing your class role as a ministry list? It's a question. What are some other results of viewing it not as an attendance sheet or a role, but as a ministry list?
The value of the person in Christ. The value that they bring. It's a ministry. You're all together. You're serving Christ and in Christ. So to honor people, that they're more than just a person, like you said, sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
They're God's child that might need help or guidance or
good. Like the keynote that we just heard, viewing them through the Lord's eyes, through God's eyes. Yeah. All right. Any other things that you can think of in viewing that list as a ministry list?
I just think God called them there. I truly believe
yes.
that.
Yeah.
He called them there, so need to honor God by lifting them up.
You know, good.
They didn't just show up.
That's right.
There are other places to go.
That's right. That's right. Divine appointment. They're there for a reason. God has them for a reason. And we are called to care and nurture and minister to them and look after them. Okay?
Part of that ministry, wouldn't it be to find out why they're coming to your class? And find out what their need is? What are they looking for?
Yeah.
Because maybe your class isn't the right fit for him.
That's right.
You know of someone else's who might have been.
Good.
And they're just unaware of that other option.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I would say be real careful with that at the very first. You don't want to bombard them with everything. We welcome people in our class. We give them honey and a Hershey's kiss. And we just love them to be there. And then they develop as time goes.
Yeah.
Hit them on the head with a Bible.
We talked about relationships. As you get to know them, you explore those kinds of things. So, yeah. Good. All right. So, we're going to change our view from looking at it as a class role to a ministry list. All right. And then third, this relates to viewing your class role as a ministry list. It's structure your group to care. Structure your group to care. People generally want to care for others and in return be cared for. However, they either don't know other people's needs or don't feel empowered to meet those needs. To create a caring community, you need a system. You need a system. And that's why I want to talk about the power of care groups. Nothing communicates you matter like a functioning system of care groups. LBS is represented in here that have care groups. Any? Okay. Yeah? A few? Okay. In my mind, it doesn't matter the size of the group. Any group can be structured and have care groups, okay? So what is a care group? Ideally, this means every person is assigned to a care group leader and that every person is assigned to a care group and every care group has a leader. And I recommend assigning 2 to 3 people, 2 to 3 couples to a care leader. All right. The shepherd leader, the teacher, in turn serves as a care group leader for those serving as care leaders in the LBS. So everybody has a care leader. The mission of the care group and the job description of the care group leader can be as simple as 5 words. We don't need to make it complicated. All right. So 5 words, contact every member every week. So, Tom, you mean contact every absent member every week?
No.
No. That's not what I mean. I mean contact every member every week. The contact can be face-to-face, by phone, by email, by text message, or on a really special occasion, maybe a card for a birthday. The responsibility of the care group leader is not to get people to come to class, although if you keep up with people in your group, that's going to be the outcome. They're going to be more apt to come, okay? The role of the care group leader is to help members connect in community and feel like they matter to the group. In fact, care group leaders should seldom mention class attendance in my mind. Rather, their role sounds more like, hey, just keeping in touch, just checking in to see how you're doing. Anything going on that you'd like the class to pray about for you? Mm-hmm. Care group leaders are the eyes and ears of the LBS leader, of the shepherd leader of the class. And when they learn of a need that an LBS member has, they communicate that need to the shepherd leader, who will in turn lead their group to meet that need. So it's an important role for the shepherd leader is to have these care leaders and be organized in care groups. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful. It's very powerful. And if your group is large at all, there's such a thing that's called span of care. Span of care. And if you put all of the care responsibilities on one person, even if you had a small group like 10 or 15, The span of care is just too large for one person to look after that many people. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just encourage you to think about care groups in your LBSs, because they are very powerful, and it is a great way to communicate that people matter in your groups. Thoughts, questions on care groups?
Do you change them up a lot?
So my recommendation, my experience has been, is assign a care leader and organize for care groups for a year, 1 year at a time, because that way they can develop deeper relationships with those that they're caring for. But and then change it, maybe. And that way others can get to know, you know, it helps with that, the whole idea of establishing deeper relationships. So
yeah, I would say that is that as you have your care group, because we've done that at a previous church, mm-hmm. and you really develop a relationship yeah. with the people that you are assigned to, and they almost become like family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I remember one time they were going to split our group, and so we were supposed to decide maybe who, and we always did it by where they lived. So that
okay, geographically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so... Anyway, it was like, no, I don't want to leave her. I don't want her to go because
we've already
bonded together. Yeah. And so then what we would do then later on, as far as we would have one big group kind of thing after church where all the group members would come together, but you create that bond and they become more like deep family. Anyway,
I agree. And also, if you develop this relationship, you've confided in them.
Yes.
And to start over, and I mean, if we're talking about older groups, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they want those people. Yes. They've developed this relationship. And a lot of them are lonely.
Yes.
Let's be real, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
But also challenge me to have new care groups. And so if I say... there's a yes or no to this answer, then I think then at that point you might miss out on God's doing, so you might have new care leaders being developed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And within your group,
that's true.
So caring for someone,
I agree.
Then you recognize they also have a gift to also care,
yeah.
and so you expand your care groups. If I hold them as possessions, this is my group, that I might be not a good under-shepherd at that point.
Yeah, that's good.
And I might say, how can I develop this person to also be a good care group? As much as God has blessed me with this, could I possibly duplicate this so that more could be cared for?
And that gets people, you know, we talked about getting people engaged in ministry. Am I wanted? Am I needed? Those are two foundational questions that people ask when they come to a small group. Am I wanted here? And then, okay, I feel like I belong and I'm wanted, but am I needed in this group? And that's a great way to, you know, engage them becoming a care leader or whatever other role in the LBS, getting them involved.
But even, we moved here 2 years ago, and I still keep up with the care group that we had in our other church from time to time, because it really is a bond, and we did within that group have another splinter off, and it was within the group that we were caring for. But it's just, it's not a possession, but it's just, you just become involved in their life, and you just, it's like a real, I mean, we're all sisters and brothers in Christ, but I can't explain the bond that's there.
Sure.
It's not really like I possess them, but it's just, I care for them so deeply.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes we don't. We can form new care groups, but we maintain those relationships from previous care groups. You know, so
putting it in a family context for what we're talking about, it would be you've got your family, you and your children, and then one of them gets married,
it grows,
and your family is going to grow, and so maybe they'll move away, but they're still going to be family. So it's all, and you're going to have new people coming into the class. So it has to be, it has to have the ability to flux.
Yep. And that's how our other church did it with care groups. we always, if we started getting too big, we would have someone take on that role, yeah. You know, and they would start their own group, and maybe one or two other couples would go with them.
You know, and these people they're talking about, they're part of their spiritual journey, mm-hmm. You know, so you're going to, yep. You're not going to go, oh, I don't remember you anymore.
Sure, sure. That's right.
Your family.
Yeah. Yep.
We had the guy that was in charge of the ministry list that had all the care group leaders assigned to the, and the people assigned to the leader. He started this, you know, we got big, so he wanted to split and break it up. And like Brenda said, when we contacted them and said, we want you to go to this other group. And we ain't going.
You had a mutiny.
Yeah.
That's a huge mistake churches make.
Yeah.
Huge. It's a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey.
Yeah, it works different.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
Yeah. There's not really
a padded.
Yeah, it's yeah, a hard and fast rule on that. All right. So far I've shared three ways that you can show those in your life Bible study that they matter to you, your church, and your Lord. Strive to be a shepherd leader. View your class role as a ministry list. Structure your group to care. And then the fourth is communicate. All right? Effective, timely communication leads to a greater sense of community among your LBS members. It communicates that they matter. So as the leader, you should ensure that your group's members regularly hear from you and or their care group leader so they feel connected to the group. And this will also help group members keep up with group life when they can't attend. It helps keep them connected, and it will allow you to communicate opportunities for connection beyond group time. So there are a lot of different ways to communicate. Communication is very important to any organization, and it's equally important in the church and in your LBS. So what are some basic ways that we can communicate with others in our LBS? Keep them connected.
We use GroupMe in my class, and then
GroupMe.
I send out a lot of group emails. It's sent to everybody.
Okay.
Email telling what's going on, what's available, we're going to be doing.
Okay. Good. GroupMe emails.
We just send out a regular email twice a week. We try and keep it to those two times because everybody's inbox gets inundated with stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a rehash of what we did and also a preview of what we're going to do in class, a little bit of lesson notes for the class so they can study ahead.
Good.
And also so we don't have to go through the announcements in class.
Okay.
Every one of them.
Okay.
It's just kind of bullet points in class, and if you want to go deeper, we can get on the church website or something.
Okay. So are emails working for you all? Emails work? Okay. All right. What are some other ways we can communicate?
Lunch after church.
Face-to-face communication. Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. Lunch after church or going out to dinner or whatever it might be. Great.
We have someone who sends out a birthday card to everybody who's having a birthday in the class.
Okay. So, cards. I don't know about you, but it's seldom that I usually get all kinds of junk mail in the mailbox, right? But when I get a card, that's really meaningful. And it doesn't take that long for us to write a little note card or a little card anymore. That's out of the ordinary for somebody to get a card, and it can be very meaningful. All right, so written notes, emails, we're talking about means of communication, texts. My life group is the most texting life group. I'm like, the phone just blows up every now and then. But that's how my group stays connected, and prayer requests and all kinds of things that they text each other. So texts. What other ways? Phone call?
Call them,
okay? That way there's interaction with them. So lots of different ways to communicate. Social media, platforms on social media. Some of you may use social media.
Facebook.
Yeah, Stan was making a comment about texting. I kind of overheard. So sometimes people don't like that because it's too much texting.
Yeah, group
people
texting
want to jump out.
No, yeah.
And that's why their group started using GroupMe It's like a texting app, but you can opt into notifications, or you can just go into it to see the messages when you want. So it's not blowing up your phone,
good.
But it's like a big group, and that really increased the sense of community. When people could post prayer, things that are happening, say, hey, I'm going to go to 80 players, somebody want to join, you know, want to join. So just kind of opting in to do different activities, but really relationship-wise, building community, group me was really good.
I'm going to have to look.
You started a new class, and they have a group me. Yeah. Can you tell them about that?
Yeah. We use it, just like Chris said, we send out messages, and we got a couple new members to join us here tonight, so I think it's working.
Good, yeah. good. Okay.
Does the church show how to do that? That would be a good thing to teach people.
Yeah.
Because old people don't know how to do that.
She'll show you. What's that? Dr. Linda, she'll show you.
I can also send Don like a video instruction.
Yeah, video. If they could even show it in school, it would help.
This is called intergenerational ministry, right here. It's called. All right, I just want to talk a little bit about social media before we close. Understand what social media platforms your group is using, what they're comfortable with. Communicate weekly. Keep your group engaged. If you're going to use social media, because my experience has been, if you set up a social media platform or whatever for your group, but the content never changes, it's like people stop going there because there's no reason to go there. You got to keep engaging them on the platform. Consider using social media to reinforce your teaching. I heard that in like the emails where you send the scripture passage or questions that you're going to do in class or whatever ahead so they can be thinking about it. Or you follow up after a Sunday with giving maybe more detail on a question that came up or a discussion that happened in class. Promotes group socials, update prayer requests, ministry needs. Social media can be a very useful tool.
Okay, question.
Yep, sorry.
Dan videos the Sunday school lesson and send it out on Tuesdays and afterwards for the ones who want to review it, replay it, or for the people who weren't there, they can pick up on the lesson that was handed. Mm-hmm. So that's a very effective.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So I want to state once again that the care, nurturing, and discipleship of people in your group, it is a stewardship issue. And we need to view it that way. So your group exists for those the Lord has led to your group. It should serve, disciple, and care for them. Remember, it doesn't exist for the sole purpose of teaching each week's Bible study lesson. If we're not careful, we can fall into that mode. It's more than that. The lesson is important. Bible study is important, but it's more than that. We must assume that every person in your LBS has been divinely led to your group. And in closing, we have greeters in our church. You guys, I'm sure, do too. When somebody comes to the welcome desk or whatever you call it, engagement desk, whatever it is in the lobby, and they're looking, they want to go to an LBS. So what happens from that point on? If they like, I want to go to an LBS this hour, what happens here at Houston First? Right. Do you have somebody down there that takes them to the LBS?
Yeah. And they take them right there.
Yes. There's greeters that take them, and it happens in our church too. Yeah. They take them to the LBS, introduce them hopefully to the teacher. Right?
We even had one person that led this girl to our class, and she stayed there with her the entire time.
The whole class.
Wow.
That's a dedicated greeter. So
you can also designate somebody in your class to be with the greeter, with the welcome team. So if you're sitting on the outside, let them start the conversation, and you can also be. So you don't have to wait for them to get all the way to your class. You can walk with the welcome team, with the person. From the welcome
That's good.
With them, so you have all the conversation, so you don't have to wait for the welcome team to do that for you.
Okay, so I'm going to close with this. Picture the Lord Himself bringing the members of your LBS to your group. And the Lord says to you, hey, this is Joe Smith. This is the group I have chosen for Joe. Please make him feel welcome, encourage him, disciple him, care for him, bring him into your community of believers. I am trusting him to your care. Every member God has brought to your group, and he's entrusted them to your care. People matter because they matter to him. They matter to him. So, all right. Well, I so appreciate our time together.